And welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is David Hulley and Yanis Janaeus. This episode, we're going to be discussing the massive 5-0 victory for Fulham against Reading at Craven Cottage. We have much to get through, but before we get started, I have to welcome my Cottage Talk co-host back to the show first. Mr. Janaeus, how are you doing? How are things up in Canada?
I'm good, matey. That voice at the start sounds a bit like Sarah Brooks.
Okay.
I just thought I'd say that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just a nice, pleasant way to spend a Sunday morning in the Arctic North.
Okay. Well, listen, I look forward to going through this show with you. And that's actually when we hit record on the service we're using, that's the voice that Yanis hears. David, over to you.
That's right. I was going to say that you don't sound anything like Sarah Brooks, Russ. So I'm not sure. I think Yanis needs to clean his ears out there. But now you've explained it, I realize what we're talking about. Yeah. But maybe Sarah does an impression of you, Russ. But that's for another day anyway. I'm looking forward very much to discussing this excellent result with you guys.
Yeah, listen, I'm looking forward to it. Let's just get right into it. Yanis and I have watched the replay. And we'll be sharing our thoughts on it. But let's start with you. You were at Craven Cottage, David. Just opening thoughts on what you watched yesterday.
Oh, that was a fantastic performance. I don't want to go too much into the hyperbole and stuff. But for me, my memory's going because of old age. But that has to be one of the best performances I can remember in a very long time, really. Especially the second half. The first half, a little bit disappointing if you look at the two halves side by side. The intensity was still there first half. We played some good football, but, obviously only one goal to show for it at halftime. And we were thinking, Reading, could still come back into this. We really need to sort of start, putting our possession and, authority into goals, turning it into goals. But you look at two matches, and I talked to you about this yesterday off air when after the match. We've had two fairly recent 5-0 wins against teams from the top of the table. The Huddersfield match totally deserved 5-0, but the stats said otherwise. Yesterday, completely deserved 5-0, and the stats were damning. They really were. The only thing that Reading won were the fouls, which obviously they beat us on cards, yellows and red cards. Everything else, we absolutely crucified them. And I have to say, and you've seen the game, 5-0 was probably kind on them in the end, to be honest with you. It actually could have been more. Let's not be greedy. I know everyone was shouting. We want six. But honestly, Reading were just—they were crushed. I mean, obviously, the decisions. There was a key decision that went against them, and we would be discussing that obviously in the show. But they were just crushed after that, demoralized. And I'll bring it out now. I was going to save it for later, but I'll bring it out now. And there's this thing: were we good? Or were Reading poor? Well, I'm afraid I have to say it again, Russ and Yanis. The table doesn't lie. They just won 5 on the bounce. They were there on merit. They can't be a poor team. They had a bad day at the office, yes. But, they're not a poor team. We made them look poor. And to Mike, our friend Mike Gregg, who said, don't say Reading were poor, we were great. To me, they were poor because we were so great. We made them look poor. What's better, to win 5-0 against a rubbish team or to win 5-0 against a good team? And they're normally a good team. And we made them look very much second best because we were up for it. And our intensity, our pace, our movement was second to none, literally. Most certainly in terms of that. If our final ball quality had been a bit better, if our shooting had been a bit better, it could have been 10-0, honestly. But we absolutely crushed them in terms of our actual pressing forward. They couldn't keep the ball. We just kept winning the ball back off them all the time. We got behind them. We got lots of crosses in. It's just the final ball could have been a bit better. That's my only complaint, really.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. And you've mentioned a few times the word that I have to describe this match, the performance by Fulham. It's intensity. They were intense from the minute the match began, basically until the very end. They're first to seem like every ball. Reading couldn't get a sniff pretty much at all during this match, and it was really our intensity, the way that we approached this match, that just took it over and wouldn't give this team that before the match were third in the table, and we wouldn't let them breathe. And that, to me, the best word I can use to describe it was intensity. The intensity that Fulham brought to the table, it was immense. And like you said, they could have very easily won this by more. There's no question about that. Giannis, your opening thoughts on the match?
Well, as I said to you before, the cast. I mean, it was an old fashioned clobbering, and we were very, very good, and Reading will be the first to admit that they weren't first of the races. They didn't get off to a good start, but they have got an excellent manager in Stam. They'd won five on the spin. They aren't third for no reason, and very occasionally you have those games where you come up against a team where everything's going to go right and nothing's will go right, partially because you're not playing well and partially because the opposition you're playing are choking you. And that's what happened yesterday. It was Reading can leave with no complaints, and they're a much, much better side than the one we saw yesterday. But having said that, I thought we played really, really well. And David's right, 5-0 wasn't probably a fair reflection of the scoreline. Al Habsi made some good saves, and he's one of the best keepers, arguably the best keeper in the division. But it was an old-fashioned clobbering that, let's be honest, has been overdue, and especially with the Brighton game last week. I'm sure the players and coaches and fans were suitably upset that we really let one slip away, and unfortunately some team was going to pay, and it just happened to be Reading.
Good point there, Giannis. And what's interesting, what you just said, you know, giving a team a clobbering. And this isn't the first team that we've given a clobbering. And that's what's very interesting about this. We did this to Huddersfield Town 5-0 as well. So yeah. I talked to you before we started this. Could this be even a better sign that we're really heading in the right direction here, that we could be two teams that were near the top of the table in similar fashion?
Yeah, and I said last week after the Brighton game, I felt we were very close, but I wouldn't compare Huddersfield to Reading. I think Reading are a much better side. Huddersfield's form right now is beginning to show them up, the team that they are. Sometimes teams at the top are really not as good as you think they are. Like Newcastle have lost 3 on the spin. You know, Brighton go to Cardiff and must have expected to get 3 points and get a draw. All of a sudden, a team like Leeds comes up from nowhere, and I don't think Leeds are a particularly good side, and now they're fourth. But Reading are a good side, and they're a consistent side, and they're well managed too. And I think this is probably a better gauge of where we are at. But it's also a reminder, as Slava said, you know, we still try to look to get the results, but we can't be complacent. We still need a couple of players at the transfer deadline that maybe will help us through the difficult times of when it starts getting really, really heavy in January and February with the midweek games. Midweek games seem to be a killer for us, especially away from home. And if we're going to finish in the top six, we have to start securing positive results away from home in midweek games, long, long journeys, to make sure that we stay there or thereabouts. Because our home form hopefully will stay consistent from now to the end of the season.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right. Right, let's move on. Let's hear a little bit from the managers. Let's go through each manager. David, I'm going to give you the Reading manager. I'm going to read some quotes that you could actually read on the Reading website. This is from Jaap Stam. I want to get your thoughts on what he shared, and then Giannis, I will give you what Slavica had to share after the match. First, let's start with Mr. Stam, and then I'll go to you, David. Here are quotes from him. Quote, "If you start the game like that, the opposition's going to make it difficult for you. A run of 5 straight wins with just one goal considered ended with a Craven Cottage performance to forget." That's from the actual article. Then he goes on. That was not Mr. Stam. Here's Mr. Stam again. "We knew they were going to be very aggressive and we prepared. But if you're not switched on, not sharp enough when you have the ball, it's in your 1v1 defensively and communication-wise, you make it easier for the opposition. They made it very hard for us. They played well and we knew from the start they had a lot of quality in the squad. We conceded a second one and then the red card. Danny had the ball. He wanted to try to pass it or kick out a play. The Fulham player fell on him and Danny could have touched him, but I don't think it's a red card. And you want players to react when they're down because you need to be mentally strong. You want to keep it close, keep the area small so they don't have time to play and pass the ball through. But we gave them too much space, too much time on the ball. We made wrong decisions, gave it away too quick, and they punished us. even when I played at United, we didn't concede a lot of goals, but we sometimes, you lose four or five. So what happens? It's an off day. Everybody who played today can do a better job. It's not about the injuries, the players we're missing, not at all. It's not only about one player out there. It was most of the players today. We were too soft, not good enough on the ball, and they chased us all over the pitch, going forward, getting to second balls, sprinting, anticipating situations. We didn't do that today, and that is why we lost that game. What is important after results like these is what you do afterwards, how you bounce back. Can we win the next game? It's not about one game. It's about the whole season, the long game. Okay, David, those were quotes from Jaap Stam that, like I mentioned, you can read on the Reading website. What did you take out of that, David?
Well, Jaap Stam did appear on the Football League show on Channel 5 last night. Briefly, they spoke to him and Slavisa. And I think he was fairly magnanimous, really, and he didn't try and make excuses. He didn't try and blame the red card or anything like that. He conceded that Fulham were the better team. And I think it'd be a very, very difficult job to say otherwise. You know, even Arsene Wenger would have trouble getting out of this one, I think, you know. But I was surprised. Yeah, his honesty and his frankness. I think sometimes you get these results. And for Reading, they're going to put it down as a freak result, perhaps, that just one of those days, the perfect storm kind of scenario for Fulham. Everything went our way, kind of. Everything went badly for them. They prepared, supposedly, but they didn't prepare enough. And for me, and I said this, I think, yesterday, the interesting fact is that the three victories we've had at home, and apparently that's it, three victories we've had at home in the league, have all been against teams who have come to try and play against us. And we kind of knew that because we've had this sort of reputation this season of being a team that plays well away from home, where the home team will come at you because of the expectation and give you opportunities to get in behind them. And that certainly happened yesterday. The teams that come and sit, shut up shop and do a Burton Albion on us, you know, or other tactics, it's more difficult for us.
That's right.
So Reading, he said they've prepared, but maybe they haven't, you know. Perhaps they should have amended their kind of their way they play. They should have looked to frustrate us like Sheffield Wednesday did, perhaps. Because Reading, I think they have the capability of attacking teams on the break as well also. You know, they certainly have a mean defence, or they have had a mean defence. So, you know, this is really out of character. You know, as I said to you yesterday, it's very ironic that on the Channel 5 football show, they had on Chris Gunter to talk about Reading's rise up the table. And of course, he was there sort of, you know, embarrassed almost. He had a red tinge to him that they're asking him to talk about Reading's recent success when they've just had a 5-0 thrashing and he scored an own goal. But, you know, Jaap Stam, he made no excuses for it, really. He accepted Fulham with a better team on the day. And, you know, I think what he said there is basically the same thing. You know, we'll go away, we'll dust ourselves down, we'll come back stronger next time.
No, very good analysis there, David. You know, like you said, he's in his way giving credit to Fulham because he's basically saying that his team was second best and now they have to move on and learn from this. And it's just one match. So that's going to be his approach. Very good there. All right, Giannis, I'm now going to give you some quotes from Slavisa, the head coach, from the head coach reaction that you can get on the Fulham website. Very interesting quotes from Slavisa. You were kind of leading towards it when you were mentioning your opening thoughts. So now we're going to talk about what Slavisa had to share, his words. So here are Slavisa's words after the match. Quote, "I can be very happy with the victory and the performance of the team. I'm very satisfied because we offered a great afternoon for our supporters. It was the complete afternoon for us. We played a very good game and we tried to press them very high. This is one of the teams who has more possession in the championship, but we moved the ball and didn't give them too much space to think and move without the ball. We won possession very often and created a lot of chances, which led to many goals. And we showed how we can be strongly when we believe in ourselves, believe in our style. And that is good news for us. I'm happy with the progress of the team. We tried to find our identity, our style. We want to dominate teams. We played today with less touches. Our passing was with a good pace. And at the end, we created many things and scored many goals. Normally, I'm never satisfied, but this afternoon, I'll try to be satisfied. But we can still do better in the future. We pushed hard. We continued at the same level. My players and I were not thinking about the past. We had a bad defeat in the last game against Brighton. We were played very good football for many minutes, but we didn't find the results. We didn't change the style. We tried to move the ball. We dominated. It's important if we play against one of the top teams in this league that we believe in ourselves and push hard. We scored 5 goals, but we still need to be more clinical at some moments. It's important in football that when your moment arrives, you kill the opposition team. Today, our good moment was for 90 minutes. Sometimes it's not possible, and we have to be more clinical in the right moment in different games. Now he has some quotes about Chris Martin. Quote, he's a target man, and we need to connect with him. He scored the goals. He was our platform player. Apart from the goals, he did very good work and pressed the opposition defenders very well. Credit to him. He's an experienced player, and his numbers in the past show us that he can be a very important player for us. He's our top scorer, and we have to believe in him. Okay, Giannis, over to you. What did you get out of the comments from Savisa? Well, I'll just mention one thing that I got out of the comments is something that David was mentioning earlier about being clinical, because we could have won this by an even bigger margin. So he mentions that, that his team still needs to be more clinical. Thoughts on quotes from Savisa Jokanović?
I mean, I couldn't agree more. He was obviously very pleased about the performance. He was pleased about the way we moved the ball quickly. He talked about having less touches on the ball, the way we closed down space, which was excellent, that we'd had chances, we put chances away, we had chances to score more goals, we didn't. He was pleased for the players and the fans. The one thing behind closed doors, though, I'm sure he'll be talking about this week, is say, look, okay, we beat Huddersfield 5-0, we've just clobbered Reading. But we've got to beat the silly teams too. We've got to beat the Wolves and the Rotherhams of this world. Because it's not good beating the top teams and then, you know, slipping up against teams like Burton Albion. And that's going to be the key. I mean, win the games that you know you should win and get something off the games that will be very, very difficult. So the thing about lads now is they'll have a lot of confidence moving forward. And let's be honest, the Christmas period is obviously very, very busy. And confidence is a big thing in this game. We know that. And now, even though we're still in 10th place, we're 3 points off 4th. So, you know, we're there or thereabouts. A win next week could put us in the top 6. But Slava strikes me as a feet in the ground kind of coach. He's obviously very, very happy, but he's not going to start doing somersaults or bungee jumps. You'll remind them of responsibilities. And something of the comments earlier, I agree with Dave. Stan was very magnanimous about his remarks about the game and our performance, but don't be fooled by the fact that he'll give his players an absolute bollocking come tomorrow morning, because he was a very strong-willed character and a strong player who hated to lose. I mean, he even had run-ins, as we know, with Sir Alex, and that's why Sir Alex got rid of him. And Sir Alex admitted one of the biggest mistakes he ever made was getting rid of Jaap Stam. So he might put it down to a one-off, but he won't be pleased with the performance and the fact that they were... we bullied them yesterday, and we bullied them into submission. And he won't put up with that. Reading will bounce back next week, I've got no doubts. But the same way that we've beaten up on Reading, we can't be complacent. And I think next week's game, Reading is over. Next week's game is very, very winnable. We've got some very winnable games coming up. And if we hope to be finishing the top 6, keep our feet on the ground, keep improving, and hopefully the results will come.
Oh, very good there, Giannis. We're on to Wolves. You know, that's got to be the mantra. We're on to Wolves, then we're on to Rotherham and Derby County, and the match is coming up. But it's one match at a time. We're now on to Wolves. Not us. The players need to be on the Wolves and of course, Slavisa, because I certainly still want to talk about this. And let's now get into the match. But before we do, we have to talk about the starting 11. There was a decision in the starting 11 that was a little curious. So I want to go to you, Giannis, first, and then I want David's thoughts on the starting 11. What stood out to you, the one thing that I'm focusing on is Ragnar Sigurdsson. I haven't heard anything. Maybe you guys have heard anything why he was not in the starting 11. I have to think maybe it was injury related, but in his place we had Tim Ream. So I'm curious your thoughts about the decision, Giannis, to start Tim Ream in this match, and overall the thoughts on the starting 11, and then I'll go to David.
Well, I'm assuming that Sigurdsson was an injury. We've not heard anything otherwise, but I'm going to assume it was an injury. The thing with Maddle, I would have started Maddle, but Maddle hasn't played a lot recently, and Ream hasn't played a little bit more. And Ream was decent defending to the left, and with Malone there, he probably felt a little bit more comfortable doing that. Kallas has been playing out of his skin. So it was a calculated gamble, assuming Sigurdsson was injured. The rest of the 11 sort of, picked itself. Frederick's back at right back. I don't know how you take Frederick's out of that lineup right now. I mean, he was absolutely brilliant yesterday. And, and that's no disrespect to Odoi, but Frederick's is sound as a pound. And really, when you look at the lineup that we had yesterday, you've got pace all over the field. And that's the one thing that always, I think that we're really scaring the Purdue's out of teams with. So apart from the, Sigurdsson obviously being out, I really had no complaints with the 11. And the Maddle thing, I think, was touch and go. And he decided to go safe and say, okay, well, I think Reams had a bit more time recently and went with the lineup that he did.
Okay, very good there. All right. David, over to you. Giannis actually brought up something that I know you and I have talked a great deal about from last season, lack of pace. Giannis is right. This starting 11 had a ton of pace, so that probably made you happy. But I definitely want your thoughts overall on the starting 11 and the decision to start Tim Ream instead of Michael Mann.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was pretty obvious last season that we played with used pace. We were so sort of turgid, if that's the right term, in our build-up. Oh, the cat's back, is it, as well? Not so Maura, this is not a time to interject. Thank you very much. If you could... we're going to be... NS, whatever it is, the RSPB, okay. The National Society of Prevention of Cruelty Animals, RSPCA, that's the one. I got there in the end.
Okay.
Can you stop squeezing that cat, Giannis? You're throwing me off my train of thought. But as a true professional... I'm going to carry on anyway, but yeah, so it was the difference this season, especially yesterday, highlighted we have pace, and this is where it was, and I said this to you yesterday, Russ, that if Chris Martin's holding the ball up, he hasn't just got one pacey person to lay it off to. He's got several. Johansson's got supercharged batteries. Not only does he run the whole match, he's pretty quick as well. Frederick's, of course, and even our Jazz Richards reject swap Malone, my God, what a Cardiff. I think Cardiff should be getting the white coats, the men in the white coats round, because I honestly can't. Saku seems to be able to defend okay. And he's like every opportunity to get forward, and he's quite pacey as well. He does have an unusual gait. Like, he's very tall and skinny for a fullback, but he seems to be effective. But we have all these people with pace playing around. And you're obviously Fredericks would be back with Odoi suspended, and I think we benefited from that. The only really other key one was whether he brought back Piazon or he gave Aiti another chance. But at the back, as you say, we can only assume that either Sigurdsson was injured last minute, or perhaps was picked up something, had a bug, was sick or something. And it was a surprise. I said to you yesterday, bringing Ream in, I was a bit worried because Ream was part of a defence that led to a lot of goals last year. And although Ream is a reasonable footballer on the ground, he doesn't have as much pace as Maddle. And he's probably not as good in the air as Maddle, despite being taller. So you would think that Maddle would be the one to come in. But, as Giannis pointed out, that Ream's had more game time of late. And it appears that Ream's ahead of Maddle in the pecking order, because it's Ream who's on the bench and not Maddle normally. Maddle's not even been making the 18, apart from yesterday, obviously, as we had, Ream in the team. Ream in the team, there's a good one. Ream in the team. There's a new chant for next week. We've got Ream in the team. The starting 11, though, in the main, really does pick itself. You're not going to mess around with a team that's been doing pretty well, scoring goals, playing with pace. Otherwise, I was happy with the starting 11 completely. It was just, would Ream be up to it was my only concern. But thankfully, yesterday, he put it for one mistake that I can remember, was pretty solid and did his job very well.
Okay there, David. Very good. Very good. Okay, so now let's go to first half observations, and then, David, I will come back to you, all right? Let's start here. Let's start in the 6 minute. Floyd Aiti had a great chance to score as he makes a great run, but his shot is saved by Ali Al-Habsi. In the ninth minute, you had the opportunity by Scott Malone, another very good chance to score, but his shot is saved as well. In the 14th minute, Ayite had another opportunity to score, but his shot goes over the net. In the 15th minute, Fulham do take the lead on an own goal as Chris Gunter put the ball in the net, which came from a cross from Ryan Fredericks. In the 29th minute, Chris Martin also had a decent chance to score. In the 32nd minute, you also had Aluko having a chance to score, but his shot goes over the net. Okay, David, back over to you. Just share with me your observations of what you saw at Craven Cottage.
Well, as I said in my opening sort of crawl there, that first half we did very well, but we didn't really create many chances out and out. You know, we got into some great positions, caused them a lot of trouble. But we, you know, the actual shots we had on goal were fairly, you know, small compared to the overall play. And that was my only concern at half time. But, you know, we had these, as you say, what you described, these efforts here. Obviously, the first real chance was the IET run. And then, of course, the goal came soon after. And, you know, it was a decent cross whipped in by Fredericks. And there all the time he was, you know, pairing up very well because I didn't really describe it, but in the starting 11, we basically played with the same kind of scenarios we've had. We had McDonald was holding in front of the back four. You had Kearney and Johansson in front of him playing off the striker. And you had IT and Aluku playing wide there. If I missed anyone out, I'm sorry, that'd be a Goldman, but I think I got everyone in there. But so, yeah, we played with Aiti and Aluku, and they literally, apart from one bit, they stuck to their flanks. Aiti played left and Aluku right. I've got to give full credit to McDonald, though. I thought McDonald was magnificent yesterday. He did all the dirty work. He was winning the balls. He's a big guy, as I said to you before. He's actually the tallest guy in the team. He's even bigger than Button, I think. He's a very imposing figure, and he was getting first to the ball. He was winning it. And he was using the ball well as well. Although mostly laying it off to other people, he did use it. I can't really think of any times when he was negative with the ball particularly. And that was, you know, I think this is all part of what we've been missing in the team. So we've talked about it before. And therefore, there was less pressure on Callas, who was excellent again when needed. Ream did a solid job. But now McDonald was really there mopping up. And he's like, sometimes we almost play like a 3-5-2. With McDonald, you know, drops between the central defenders when the fullbacks push on. So we have the fullbacks wide as well. And first half we play a lot of pace and width. There's a lot of quick interchanging of play. And really Reading were chasing tails. And, you know, early on they got a booking straight away, which is good because the referee wasn't, you know, standing for any nonsense yesterday.
That's right.
If he thought, you know, they're going to stop and hinder our play, that's it. The yellow card was out pretty quickly. You know, and it was the same both ways. Aluku, for a cynical trip later on in the game, did go into the book. But obviously, you know, the Reading players also saw yellow and red as well in the second half. But, you know, it was a very intense first half from Fulham, really, but without the end result. The biggest disappointment was, for me, the quality of the crossing, especially from Malone, really. But, you know, also a little bit from Fredericks, because that... The one that caused the own goal, it was a great cross, although it shouldn't have been an own goal. He was under no real pressure immediately. I don't know how he managed to head it past his keeper. And now Al-Habsi, you know, Yanis said he's a good keeper. Well, yes, he is, but I think he's very showy. He likes to sort of flail around to make the saves look more more spectacular than they are. You know, and I call him a bit of a flapper, really, for me. I was saying, get the ball in there, because I think he's not someone who's going to come and claim the ball. He'll come and try and... You get keepers that don't come off their line as well, which infuriates us, but you have ones that come out and flap, and he's definitely in that league, comes out and flaps a bit, I think, and I was, you know, hoping we could put him under more pressure. But, you know, otherwise, just a case for the first half, get more shots on target. When you do have a shooting opportunity, just needed to be a little bit more clinical, as I say, Aluku putting one over the bar, as he does sometimes. But really, you couldn't be upset at half time with the overall balance of the play. You know, we'd certainly been the better team. It was just we didn't have more goals to show for it, really.
No, very good points there, David. You really walked us through everything that happened in the first half. Very good. Thank you for that. And Yanis, before I go to you, just to get your observations and maybe comment on what David just shared, I'm actually going to share some halftime stats for you to go along with you sharing your thoughts on the first half. Here are the halftime stats. Possession, 60-40% in favor of Fulham. Total shots, 11-1 in favor of Fulham. On target, 4-0 in favor of Fulham. Corners, 5-0 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 19-4 in favor of Fulham. 9-7 tackles in favor of Fulham. Attempted passes, 218-154 in favor of Fulham. 121-31 of attacking passes in favor of Fulham. Passing accuracy, 77%-64% in favor of Fulham. Accurate passes, 168-100 in favor of Fulham. Aerial duels, Fulham actually led here too, 210-7. And fouls, Reading had 8, Fulham had 7. So I just wanted to give you that information because I think it really shows the dominance of the first half for Fulham. Your observations of what you watched, and also do the stats back up what you watched?
Yes, men against boys. The final, when we get to the final shot total, was 24-3. When's the last time you saw that? That's unadulterated bashing. It was that dominant a display, and as David said earlier, if the scoreline had been great, it'd been 8 or 9-0. It wouldn't have disgraced us either. And it's nice to do it at home as well. The home fans have had not that much to cheer about this year, whereas we've played pretty well away from home. But it's nice to, take on a very good side, and I really do think Reading are. I think Reading will be in the playoffs this year, and give them a good old ass whooping, and that's about the only way I can describe it. It was an absolute shellacking, and if we'd gone into halftime 2, 3, even 4 goals up, I don't think it would have disgraced us. I hope that the other teams are obviously going to scout us moving forward, especially that particular game. But I think a lot of teams have to be scared if this is the way we're going to play, with this consistency mind. And that's the problem. Inconsistency always kills.
Right.
That is the one bit that can frustrate Slav, and he's admitted as such. We can absolutely dominate games in the first half, but not put teams away like Brighton. And then second half,
right?
We lay a bit of an egg, or we make mistakes, and unfortunately, we make one mistake and we get punished. So, as I said earlier, as long as he keeps his feet on the ground, that's great. For Reading, for Stam, it's funny because I don't think, he'll be annoyed tomorrow morning, but I don't think he's got to do much. It's one of those games you chalk up to coming up against a team that, that dominated you on all parts of the park. And the first half, I think, really exemplified that. The only thing that didn't, for me, was the number of goals we scored.
And Giannis, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I want to go back to that real quick before we transition to the second half and I go back to David. I know how I was feeling at halftime. I thought, okay, we had the Brentford match where we saw this out, got the late second goal, but we went into the half only scoring the one goal. Right. Same situation with Brighton. It didn't go our way. They scored the two goals. They got the victory. I'm not going to lie. I was, even though we had dominated, I was still worried going the second half. I thought that if we got an early goal in the second half, things would change, which it did. So it did play out the way that I had hoped. But yeah. I'm not going to lie, Giannis. I was a little nervous at halftime thinking, were we clinical enough? Like David had said, did we miss our opportunities again? So what were you thinking after the first half at halftime? Were you feeling the way I was, or did you feel that these goals were going to come?
Oh, I felt the same way. I mean, we've seen it time and time again this year. We've gone a goal up. We've bashed the hell out of a team in the first half. And lo and behold, second half, we get nipped. We get nipped in the bud. And then we come away thinking, how the hell did that happen? And we've done that, as I said, to a few teams. But our performance, you can be as dominating as we were in the first half. And just, the halftime cup of tea and bickies and whatever, and a good bollocking in the changing room can change all that. But I think we had such momentum going into the second half that Reading sounded a little bit like, the cat. This is a Reading cat. The halftime, he was not happy. See, that's what we were doing to them. And we couldn't release him from the grip because second half we came out flying. And then once Williams got sent off, well, that was the end.
Okay, very good. All right, let's move to the second half. And David, you did ask him to have his catch join us, and boy, did his catch join us here today. All right, very good. Let's now move to the second half. Let's go through the moments point by point, because I definitely want your analysis of each one of them. Let's start early on. Like I mentioned, we got the goal early, and that changes the match for me. That basically, that goal by Chris Martin for me was a match changer. Because it obviously made it 2-0. Talk about the goal, David, because this is the type of goal I've seen him score in the past. This was a very good goal by Chris Martin. Just analyze his goal here.
Well, this is very much a Route 1 situation, really. You know, it was quite a quick flick ball on forward. Yeah, it was a flick on, for, you know. And the thing that was happening, you see, because we had the pace, people were running alongside Martin. I think it was IET and Aluka, whatever. And you know, you was never sure whether he was going to like play the ball to one of them or whatever. And the defense kind of, I think, had that scenario, and they didn't know whether to go and close Martin down, but then risk a through ball to one of the others, or to sit back and try and, you know, just cover all the gaps. And they never really quite closed him down enough. And he's just, you know, the thing I noticed about Chris Martin is that, you know, although he's a fairly big guy.
Sorry about that.
Oh. That's okay.
<You're> okay. Janis, what is this, Janis? If you got
sorry, it was just a guitar came on. Sorry,
okay.
A guitar. Janis has got like one of these things for jingles and stuff to play all these different sounds and stuff. You know, like a DJ.
Go ahead, David.
Is it a strum as a tune at the same time? Now you hum it, I'll sing it, Janis. Yeah. Chris Martin. Then so he runs pretty well. He's got a good pace for a biggish guy. He makes himself first of all, but he just kept running with it. They didn't really close him down enough. He got to in a position for shooting.
That's right.
And I wasn't absolutely sure whether he was going to, you know, lay it off or not until that point. And he just hit a very nice shot, you know, gave the keeper no chance really into the corner. And that was, you know, early on in the half. And that kind of, you know, anyone who had doubts about whether we were going to sort of, you know, have a poor second half and give away our advantage, you know, that put things to bed, and that, you know, that put Reading straight on the back foot again. So whatever motivational thing happened at halftime from Yap Stan, maybe you put some Warnick's in their halftime tea. Janis probably knows what Warnick's is. This is very much a Christmas time drink. If you've never had it, Russ, go and research it. Yeah. Get some Warnick's Advocar. And you mix it with a little lime and lemonade, and you make a drink called a snowball. It's wonderful. Oh, it's quite sickly.
I'll have to try that.
It's quite sickly and alcoholic, but it's actually a very kind of a festive thing to have at Christmas time. I used to love them when I was a little kid. That was before we had social services that you could give children alcohol in the UK, I think, without getting a knock on the door. No, I just had a little bit. It's not that strong. But anyway, yeah. So I'm not sure how I got onto that, actually. But yeah, sorry. Yap Stan. You know, whatever he did at halftime or whatever he did was, you know, it was washed away within a few minutes when we got the second goal. And that was, you know, the perfect response really to whatever happened at halftime was to have that lead doubled, which, you know, straight away made Reading had to change whatever plan they had. And from then they were just always chasing the game. And in the end, they didn't even chase the game. They rolled over and died, unfortunately.
Okay, very good. David, one of the observations I got from the goal, and that's the reason why I wanted to talk a little bit about the goal. Yeah, it was Route 1. It was a flick on by Ayite that eventually got to Chris Martin. But what was interesting about this is he created the space, and the defenders were worried that he was going to pass the ball to a teammate. That's where I thought he made that extra space. So this was actually pretty cool how he created it. Because they were worried about other players in the box. So he had a wide open shot. He took it and he scored. I thought that was just a great goal by Chris Martin. I just wanted to add that. All right, David, now let's talk about a little controversy. Let's talk about the red card by Danny Williams. This was on a situation with Stefan Johansson. I've had more than a few times to look at this. Actually, Emilio caught this on video. I posted on the Cutters Talk Facebook page. It's still hard to tell exactly when the mark that was on Johansson happened, but it was obviously there. So talk about this, David. Do you feel that this should have been a red card?
This is very, very difficult to see because it, as you saw with the camera missed it. And to be honest with you, you know, I think a lot of us missed it first time because obviously the ball had moved on elsewhere. The player had moved on. So obviously they both challenged for the ball. They kind of ended up just off the pitch, really, or, you know, yeah, they were just finished off the pitch, I think. Or the ball had gone out of play anyway. So, and then suddenly there was this kind of, you know, I don't want to say fisticuffs, handbags, really, and what's going on. And the ref came, pulled in, and went over to see the linesman, had a word. And, you know, Johansson was very much protesting, as you saw, and lifting his shirt to show that he'd been studied, I think. I have to say, I wasn't close enough. I didn't see it well enough to give you any opinion. But I didn't see anything obvious happen. It could have been an accidental studying. These things can happen by accident, much as it, you know, it's easy to say. But, you know, Johansson was definitely very irate about it. And I'm not sure where or how the referee came to the decision, whether he saw something, whether the assistant saw something or not. But, you know, Williams was protesting his innocence and saying, I don't know, it was an accident or whatever he was, but out came the red card. I do wonder if Johansson overplayed it at all, whether to try and... I do think he has a little bit of an edge to him, Johansson. We saw in the previous home match where he felt he should have had a penalty, I think it was against Sheffield Wednesday, and he came out and sighed someone, you know, down straight away, had a bit of a mood on him. And whether he, you know, whether he played for that, but you know, if he's lifted his shirt and shown stud marks on his stomach or chest or wherever it was, then it's happened, whether it was an accident or not. And it's, you know, the referee has had to, and this is where I said we had the perfect storm again. There were two big decisions that the referee had to call. He could have decided it was an accident. He could have given nothing, or he could have given a yellow card perhaps for just, you know, being careless. But he decided it was a red card. He's decided it was a deliberate act of violence. So Williams was dismissed. You know, and that's come straight after, obviously, you know, not long after we've gone into the lead again. So really, that was a massive blow for Reading. And, you know, who knows what the score would have been otherwise, but this certainly was a big demoralizing factor. And after that, they were just shot to pieces. They really were.
Okay, very good there, David. All right, I'm going to give you all the three goals that came afterwards and then just let's summarize that and move on. Definitely want your thoughts on the goal by Sone Lukko, because it's initially disallowed for offside, and then the call's reversed. David, I can't remember ever seeing this. Maybe you have seen in your lifetime a call like this being reversed, but it was reversed and the goal was given. So I definitely want your thoughts on that. And then you have, I thought, a really nice goal by Stefan Johansson 2 minutes later. And then in the 90th minute, you have the free kick by Chris Martin. I actually think Al Habsi should have done better here, but who cares? He scored the goal to end it at 5-0. So talk about the last three goals here, and definitely want your thoughts on the third goal initially being disallowed and then being allowed.
Well, I have seen this scenario before, because up to the end of the last season, the offside rule was different. It's been changed again for this season, whereas last year that if you weren't interfering with play and, you know, the ball wasn't played to you, you shouldn't be given offside. But this year they've kind of gone back to the same way, that if you're in the zone where the ball's played, even if you don't touch the ball, you can be given offside. But so what's happened? Yeah, I mean, obviously the big thing is Aluka's gone between two people. He's made them look stupid. He's got the ball, and you know they've kind of both gone in for the challenge, and he's gone through them, and he's clear. He's come into the area, and you know, I think absolutely certainly it was a cross. It was an attempt to cross the ball to the far post, but for whatever reason, it's, you know, it's on a trajectory. It's taking. Our Habsi is on this. Perhaps, you know, with people running around, he's not sure whether to commit himself. But you'd think if he dived outwards, he could just smother this. But he hasn't, and what's happened? So the ball's going on the trajectory to far post, and all we see is Chris Martin coming in at the far post. And it was impossible to say, had he touched the ball? Had he touched it before the line? Had he touched it after the line? It was only after seeing the replay that it appears he didn't touch it. But obviously, the linesman, the assistant referee, is absolutely right that if the ball is deemed to be a pass, if Martin has received the ball or touched the ball and was offside, he has to put his flag up. And we have seen that last year, not with Fulham, but with other matches. I remember in the Premier League where the linesman has put the flag up for offside, but it's then the referee to decide whether or not the offside person was interfering or not, or was relevant to the play. And in this case, they've had a very long discussion, and you're right. You expect these decisions, you know, normally when the linesman puts the flag up for offside, that's it, it's offside unequivocally. But there's been this long chat. I think Martin has said that I'd never touched the ball, which is great if that's the truth, but it's not for the referee really. You know, the referee's got to make his own mind up. Right. Obviously, the Reading players felt that Martin had touched the ball. Martin said he hasn't touched the ball. The linesman and the ref have had a long chat. And the ref has decided, yeah, okay, if Martin hasn't touched the ball, therefore it cannot be offside because it was a shot. I mean, it's, you know, I don't think it was a shot by Aluku, but if it's deemed to be a shot, then yes, I guess the referee has interpreted that's fine and he's given the goal. And they say we've had two very sort of, you could say match-turning decisions or things happened in the same quadrant of the pitch as well, both in the same part of the pitch there. That's you right. know, they've first they've deemed that Williams was a deliberate reckless foul, red card, and then obviously they've given the benefit of doubt to the attacking team, which is, you know, unusual but very refreshing. And then so obviously we've ended up, you know, then three goals to the good, and that was fantastic. You know, I can understand from Reading's point of view, they've gone into halftime 1-0 down. They've got this plan, I guess, for the second half, how they're going to get back into the game. Then they're 2-0 down. Then they're down to 10 men. Now they're 3-0 down. And, you know, the decisions aren't going their way from their point of view, I would imagine. Right. And really from then, it was literally one-way traffic bar. Surprisingly, there was obviously, they had the two chances where the ball's been hit straight at Button in the second half. Fourth goal, again, Reading's failure to clear. I mean, all of these came from Reading's failure to clear. Yep. They got the ball back, and had our quality been better, you know, we'd have had more goals, but we've put the ball in the box. Reading have cleared it. It's come back to Fulham again, almost. You know, McDonald's been winning it back. Johansson's won it back. Fredericks has won it back. They've all been winning the ball back. And in this case, the ball wasn't cleared. It came to Aiti in the box. He's kind of laid it across, and Johansson was just sort of coming in, and he's hit it with his outside of his left foot. It's just almost gone dead straight into the corner. Al Habsi was rooted to the spot, couldn't do a thing. Obviously, the goal towards the end, there was a foul just on the edge of the area, outside the area. And I have to give credit to my son, whose birthday it was yesterday. He said he's going to put it into this corner. And that's exactly what he did. He put it into that corner. But you're right about Al Habsi. He got his down to his hand to it, but he didn't get enough. He should have done better with that one.
Yeah,
He definitely should have done better on that one. But really, it was just, apart from that, you know, Chris Martin, he should have had a hat-trick. He really should.
He had some other opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, in the space of about a minute, he had two really good chances. One, a header at the near, but he shouldered it. And then a minute later, literally, I think it was actually a dummy. He was sold to him by Scott Malone, believe it or not. The ball came across and Scott Malone was somewhere in the penalty area. I'm not really sure why, but he's dummied it and it's fell to Martin. I don't know if that put him off, but he's just slightly sliced it and it's just gone over the angle of the goal and the crossbar and the post. But, you know, there was various saves from Al Habsi, various near misses, various last ditch things. So more quality and it would have been really all over. Otherwise, anything in the second half to note was it was an excellent interception by Ryan Fredericks. I've got to give him credit. He played 90 minutes yesterday, Fredericks. He was an attacking threat the whole time. But when he was called on to defend, he actually defended really well. He blocked something at the near post on one occasion. But on the one mistake that Tim Ream made, and I don't want to, you know, rub Tim Ream's nose in this because, I mean, I'm sure they all made mistakes. But he made one mistake, Tim Ream. He went forward to try and close down, which everyone had been doing. Callas had been brilliant at it. When the ball's been coming towards the defence, he was dashing forward and making the ball his first. He was getting in front of his man. Tim Ream didn't. The ball was then played in behind him and it was two against one. And Fredericks came from absolutely nowhere, across the pitch, on his wrong foot and made a perfect last-ditch tackle and won the ball and kept it in play as well. And, you know, that just highlighted sort of the completeness of the performance, that not only were we great getting forward and winning the ball attacking wise. Defensively, when needed upon, we were great as well. And there's some very good, you know, tackles, you know, when needed on the few occasions that Reading got forward. But, you know, they were restricted to a couple of half chances. They really were. And that was it. And that's our dominance. And I think that's down to the fact of, you know, as I've said lots of times before, the best form of defence is attack. Yep. We just had them on the attack so often, they just didn't have a chance to have a go back, not really. So a very, very complete second half. Should have been more, but, you know, we can't be too greedy.
Okay, very good there, David. All right. Jan, it's over to you. Just for time's sake, let's move this on. If you want to share your thoughts on the second half, please do. But I'm going to give you the full-time stats, and you tell me if the full-time stats are a fair indication of this match. I think that they are. I think they show the dominance, but let me give you the full-time stats. Possession, 68% to 32% in favor of Fulham. Total shots, 24 to 4 in favor of Fulham. On target, 12-2 in favor of Fulham. Corners, 7-2 in favor of Fulham. Crosses, 32-11 in favor of Fulham. Tackles, 16-12 in favor of Reading. Attempted passes, 542 to 257 in favor of Fulham. 335 to 60 in attacking passes in favor of Fulham. Passing accuracy, 85% for Fulham, 66% for Reading. Accurate passes, 464 to 172 in favor of Fulham. Aerial duels, 13 to 12 in favor of Fulham. Fouls, Reading had more, 16 to 10. All right, Giannis, what stands out to you from the full-time stats? And like I mentioned, if you do want to share your thoughts on the second half, please feel free to as well.
Just my brief thing on the second half. I mean, everything David has said, you know, in terms of the way we dominated our finishing, I thought that finish by Johansson was absolutely brilliant. The one thing I'm just going to mention about the red card, Danny Williams isn't a dirty player. And of all the players that was going to get sent off in that lineup, he's one of the last ones I'd have picked. So it was a little bit of a surprise. And I think the jury's out as to whether that should have been a yellow or a red. I'm personally not so sure. In terms of the stats, I think all the at the end of the game, I think they all speak for themselves. I mean, you've got two of the top teams in the division in terms of passing accuracy right there. But we restricted Reading to 66%. And I think that's very telling. When they tried to knock the ball around, we closed them down very, very quickly. And they lost possession very quickly. And that, of course, can be frustrating. You know, you're stifling this style of play. And you're giving them less time, you know, to formulate moves. And what you're doing is you're forcing them to make mistakes. And I think, you know, that's a very good tactic for us to use against even the best teams. We still have to go up to Newcastle. And we do that to a team like Newcastle. And that's what we did first game of the season. We're going to cause them a lot of problems. So I thought that, you know, the possession was big, but I think for me, the passing accuracy was telling in terms of what a good job we did in terms of defending and closing them down, not allowing them the space to create chances to get back in the game.
Okay, very good there. All right, David, over to you. If you want to just chime in a little bit about the full-time stats, feel free to. But at this point, I want you to go through you rating the players. You're always good at this. I'm curious because gentleman Jim after the match said it would be hard to rate a player. I think he said anywhere less than a 6. It might have been even a 7. So I'm curious when you rate the players, what all these players are going to come in, because I'm hard pressed to find a player that actually didn't perform well in this match. That you might come up with one. So now please do rate the players, my friend.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, it was a very much a team performance, and that's what it was. And they were all responsible for the way we played and how excellent it was. Now, there's nothing else to add to really. You know, I had my say in the second half, and Giannis has mentioned the stats. The stats are pretty damning. They tell the whole story on this occasion and how dominant we were. But in terms of the players, I mean, there's a couple of players who, you know, just didn't do a lot really, and who their mark would be slightly less. I mean, one of them would be David Button, obviously. You know, how do you rate someone who hardly played? You know,
good
what
point.
What did he have to do? He had a few routine catches and saves, and that was it. And that was his whole contribution to the game. So you could say, yeah, he kept a clean sheet. It's wonderful. We give him 10 out of 10. But, you know, his contribution was one of the smallest of the team. Okay, he was a vital part. A couple of times his kicking was a little bit suspect again, his clearances, but in the main, a good solid game. But, you know, if we're going to start, let's not go too mad. Let's make it easy to mark the other ones. I'm going to give him a 6.5 then. Yeah,
okay.
Because I think
okay.
he's it was an average to good performance from him, but he didn't do anything spectacular, really. Ryan Fredericks for me, certainly, you know, excellent yesterday, both defensively and attacking. With the you know, say the small codicil that the fact that his final ball could have been a little bit better, but you know, 90 minutes from him, he was part of the you know, the pace and the thrust down the flanks. So I'm going to give Ryan Fredericks 7.5. Scott Malone, yeah, equally, same sort of thing, really. Great getting forward. Always likes to get forward and get involved. Again, final ball needs to be a little bit better. Not so spectacular in the defence, but was solid enough. I'm going to give him 7. Now, for our friends in the central defence, Kalas, magnificent, absolutely magnificent. Again, you know, first to the ball all the time. He's not the tallest defender, but he wins it in the air. And I said to you yesterday, they brought on second half this big guy. It was built, as we used to say in the old days, like a brick shit house. You know, this guy, he was pretty solid if you saw him. And there was one, you know, of note where him and Kalas were running for the ball second half, and Kalas just shrugged him off as if he was like, you know, a feather. It really was. Kalas, he was strong, and he was very, very impressive. So he didn't have his busy this game, but I'm going to give him 8 out of 10 because he was winning the ball at the back so much and he was taking any pressure away. Tim Ream, less impressive, not because he did anything wrong, just because he didn't feature as much. But I did notice he did win the ball in the air more. As I say, apart from that one error of judgment when he committed himself and left a hole behind himself. But I'm going to give him 7 out of 10 because I think it was a good, solid performance by him. He used the ball pretty well. You can see he's got a good footballing brain. It's a shame he's not a little bit more dominant sometimes in the air or has a little bit more pace, because he really would be a great defender. But stepped in and you know, can't really complain. Kevin McDonald sitting in front of the back for 9 out of 10 for me. I think that was his best game that I've seen him play for Fulham. He won everything. He really did. And he did the dirty work. And that's what Brendan, you know, our friend Brendan, who was over yesterday, he saw the game, you know, he agreed with me. It was, you know, he was part of what made that midfield tick, because he did the dirty work. He allowed others to play. He created space for others. 9 out of 10, very, very good by him. Tom Kearney, yeah, excellent. Didn't do the dirty work as much, but you saw the game. You know, he was loving it. He was taking people on and beating them. And again, sometimes perhaps you just think first time, like you'd like to see him play a first time ball, but he rarely lost possession. You know, he was taking people on and keeping the ball to a point where teasing them to death, really, and playing the through balls through for people. So, you know, a couple of good shots as well. Yeah, at least he was having shots. I'll give him 8 out of 10, Kearney. He was a very fundamental part of that. Stefan Johansson, also 9 out of 10 for me. You know, he was the yin and yang with Kevin McDonald, really. You know, he really was. As I said previously, we really have a complete midfield now, because Johansson, he provides a bit of flair to the midfield, but he has all the running, he has all the tackling as well. And for me, 9 out of 10, the same as Kevin McDonald, but on the basis he got a goal, he would be my man of the match yesterday. It was almost faultless from him, really. It really was. Great performance. Aiti, a bit quiet at times, but again, you know, I think he plays a different sort of game. Piazon is more involved with little short balls and things when he's played there. IT's a little bit more of a sort of a runner. He gets the ball and runs into the corner, into space, tries to run on goal. He's more direct. But I thought it was good that he got, you know, a good run out yesterday, and we saw what he can offer. And then certainly it gives us, I think, more pace and more width when he's in the team compared to maybe having a Piazon, who obviously likes to tuck in more. But I was very impressed with the IT overall. I think I'm giving him, you know, 7.5 out of 10. Good contribution. Aluka on the other side, he was definitely the, out of the wide guys, he was the more standout one. You know, his goal and other lots of other cases, looking to take people on all the time. He really is a menace. And, you know, the real sort of, you know, watershed, I think, for Slavisa has been when he finally realised he had to play Aluka wide and Kearney in the middle, like we've been saying.
I agree.
Yeah. Because down the middle, Aluku, he can run, but he goes into blind alleys. He gets into shooting positions he wastes. When he's wide, he's got the space to take people on and torment them. So many times he's getting past his man and getting to the line. And although he's left-footed, he's good enough on his right foot to do that, to go outside like Damien Duff used to do and get the cross in. He kind of like, you know, he's fulfilling that role. He's the first person who's been able to do that for us. I thought he was very much fundamental to all this. So 8 out of 10 as well. Likewise, Chris Martin, I think I have to give him 8 out of 10. I was tempted to mark him down for a couple of the misses because, you know, on another day, he could have had even more goals. But, you know, he's done everything really you ask of him. You know, as playing in that lone striker role, he's held the ball up well. He's brought other people into play. He's bagged a couple of goals himself. And, you know, say short of scoring more goals, I would have given him a higher score, I think, than that. But it's difficult to sort of single them out. As you say, they're all fantastic in their own right. No one had a bad game. Everyone contributed something to the match. And, you know, and it's, you know, just it's an overall team experience. In terms of substitutions, didn't have a massive role to play, the substitutes, really. We saw a brief cameo from Cabano. Obviously, Parker came on just for a few minutes as well, give a break, obviously, to Johansson. And, of course, also we did see Piazon come on to give, I think, a slightly disappointed Aluku a break. He didn't want to go off by the looks of it. He was enjoying himself so much. But, yeah, Piazon had the biggest role, and he was okay. Threw himself to floor a bit looking for a penalty. I mean, my son said to me, had the ref given that, we would have known the ref actually was on our side today. that was one you'd never give, really. It was shoulder to shoulder and he just went down. But yeah, he was busy as well when he came on, but he didn't offer the same kind of out-and-out attacking thrust that Aluki did. But they all, you know, they all made pleasant little cameos towards the end there. Parker was straight into it. The thing that impressed me with Parker was that even his age and the fact that we think of him as being a fairly defensive player, he was getting involved with all the little flicks and everything. They're all, you know, this was the thing that was so impressive. I'm sure you saw. They all played this very high pace football with lots of little flicks. And it was in different directions as well. You never knew where it was going to go. And the Reading players just couldn't deal with it because, you know, Martin was back-heeling and they're all back-heeling and flicking. And, you know, they seem to have this telepathic knowledge about where to find each other. It's obviously something they've been, you know, practicing in training. They're very drilled at. They have got a very good understanding. And I think we talk about, you know, the Burton Albion situation and other games like this. It came too early for us, Burton Albion. I think, you know, that was before Slavisa had finally got the gelling to take place, before he'd realised that you've got to play Aluku wide and Kearney central and everything else. And, of course, Johansson, you know. Yep. Johansson's been a late serendipitous find, really. He's come into the team, first match, taken off after 30 minutes. God knows what happened there. You know, that is, you know, a man in the white coats award for Slavisa, I think, that week. It really was. You know, we had this situation with Parker and McDonald in the same team. And we've just seen now what a balanced midfield we've got with McDonald, who can pass and do the dirty work and win the ball. Stefan Johansson, who can win the ball, can pass, can run all day long. And Kearney, you know, who can pass, you know. And, you know, when you've got two people like McDonald and Johansson there, that's just creating space all the time for Kearney to do what he does. And, you know, it's just one after another. You know, they try and close one down and then someone else pops up. It's like, you know, cutting off the head of Medusa or whatever it was. You know, another one pops up or two pop up in its place. And they just couldn't deal with it. And it's, I think, had we been playing Burton now, and we'll see, and this will be very interesting when we play, you know, Rotherham Tuesday week.
That'll be a good
whether Rotherham come and try and do a Burton on us and whether we can counter it better, because that's the real question.
Yep.
We can deal with these teams that come at us, we can deal with them. We've got the pace to get behind them and hurt them. But the teams that come and shut up shop, you know, that'll be our first real test. Away from home against Wolves, there'll be a big expectation against us. So we might get a chance to get behind us. But I bet you Rotherham will come to us and shut up shop. And that'll be our first chance to see whether we have moved on from the Burton situation or not. Because if we can, then, you know, that's it. We need to be winning more games at home. We have to keep winning games at home if we want to maintain our position or enhance our position.
David, great analysis. I'm glad that you brought up the Rotherham United match, because I'm thinking just like you. I think that is really going to be the key to see if we can now beat a team like that is going to come probably to just sit back and frustrate us. That will be the major test. I agree with you. Maybe Wolves, but Wolves will you know, again, they're home. They're probably going to want to take it to us. So it'll be the team that doesn't want to take it to us that sits back. That's going to be the true test. I agree with you. So that match is coming up. So we'll definitely have to see there. All right, Giannis, I'm going to go back to you in a second. Just for time's sake, I'm just going to move things along just a little bit. I'm going to go to you and definitely want your man of the match, and also I want you to rate Slavisa. But before I do that, I just want to share with you some thoughts from the foam supporters on the man of the match, because I put this on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. You're going to find it interesting here. Mia Cutler: I think Johansson was class. He made great passes, and his goal was incredible. Obviously, Martin is in with a shout, too. He could have had 5 or 6. Alex Lowy said Stefan Johansson. Our friend Roger in Spain, Roger Lewis: Johansson, the best of a great team performance. Alex Westenberger: Johansson was impeccable. Dean Pill: so hard to choose, but I'm going for Chris Martin. Colin Forknell: Floyd Ayite. Grant Harris: Martin, 2 goals, have the ball up and kept their center backs playing deep. Justin Glessner: Johansson. Andrew Iliff: the whole team to a man was brilliant. It's almost impossible to pick a man of the match. That's from Andrew Iliff. All right, Giannis, who was your man of the match? And then I also want you to rate Slavisa for this match.
This is a tough one. I think I'm going to give it to Johansson, but I think there could have been several. But Johansson was as busy as a bee. And you're right, David, about the white coats. The first game, he looked bloody awful. But he has improved. He settled into his role really well. And an outstanding game. But there was a lot of players that played really well yesterday. So it's really nice when you can have a... I can't remember the last time I was on a show that we actually won a game. It was about 10 years ago. In terms of...
Good to have you on a show like that then,
Jan. Yeah, I know. It's nice. In terms of Slava...
I'm curious your thoughts on this.
I really can't give him anything less than a 10.
Okay.
He's picked the lineup that's gone out there. They've done the job. He's made the right subs. They've won 5-0 against a team that won 5 on the trot and third in the division. So I've got to give him a 10.
Okay, very good. David, real quick, what would you rate Slavisa? Do you agree with Giannis? Can you knock him for anything here?
It's pretty hard. I think Sione Aluku would knock him because he didn't want to come off yesterday. He wanted to carry on playing. So Aluku would probably knock him down. But how can you really, you know, knock someone who's destroyed a team? Remember, we haven't beat a rubbish team. We've beat a good team.
That's right.
Table doesn't lie. Say it again. They were 5 wins on the bounce. We have, destroyed them. Fulham's problem has always been the teams that have lost 5 games on the bounce when we come to play them. And we end up, banana skinning ourselves. So... what else can you say? How else can you justify anything but a 10 out of 10 for, what was totally an overwhelming performance? They've been absolutely destroyed yesterday.
Yeah, good point there, David. All right, to wrap this up, I want your final thoughts, my friend, then I'll go to Giannis.
Well, as I mentioned, it was a fantastic day because it was my son's 15th birthday. And I was working in London, and so him and my other son came down on the train. We met up for lunch with Mike Gregg, Emilio Danello, and, of course, our friend and occasional co-host, Brendan from Ireland, who was with his lovely wife, Martha. It's wonderful to meet them. They had a fantastic time. And for me, if you came over, Russ, or anyone came over to visit, I'd want you to see a great game. And I think Brendan couldn't have really chose a better game to come over. And, of course, for our other co-host, Craig, as well, even though
that's right, it's birthday.
He stood me up and decided to have gin with Harlan Coben, his brother, and Richard Osman. David Hiley or Richard Osman, who would you choose? I know I'd probably choose Richard Osman as well, actually, knowing that. But it was just a great day all round. As I say, Giannis, when you come over to see Fulham, Russ, when you come over to see Fulham, I want you to have a game like that. I don't want you to see a terrible, awful performance. I want you to see a fantastic performance like that. And it couldn't have been a better day, really. It was just a great day. It was a lovely, cold, clear afternoon as well by the Thames, as you saw when I Skyped you a little bit.
Yep.
Just a beautiful day and a wonderful thing. And, we blew away a team that are up there. So, we can start to hope now. We really can. And even I'm you know, optimistic that we've done this. And I can't remember us being, you know, so quick and dominating and pressing since the days of Tigana, literally. I really can't. It's just finding that consistency now, because, you know, Brighton was a hard place to go. Sheffield Wednesday made it difficult for us. If we can overcome, you know, those things, then this could still be a great season. It really could, because we seem to have found the balance at last. You know,
the identity.
In another few weeks, you know, maybe teams will start to work out how to stop us playing. I can't at the moment. I hope they don't. But, you know, maybe we are at last. We are moving up at last, I think. We are moving in the right direction. And all the negativity is, you know, we can talk about the Riverside stand the other day, or the lack of the Riverside stand another day. It's always there in the background, I'm afraid. But in terms of what's on the pitch, Slavisa is now starting to, you know, bear the fruits. And even Emilio, who's not his biggest fan, you know, he accepts he's the best that we have at the moment. And we're not going to get better. And we're not going to disrupt the, you know, the balance and the continuity of the team by changing managers all the time. And we've got someone who seems to be able to do the job. We seem to have the right balance of players at last. You know, and we have relative youth in there as well. The guys, you know, a lot of the guys are not that old, apart from Scott Parker, obviously. And so we have a future here. We can get this team together, tweak it a little bit here and there, perhaps. We have a team that can play together for years and be successful, potentially.
Wow. David, I'm going to say this. I've never heard you so positive in all the time I've known you. I'm about to send the men with the white coats to your house, to Spalding, but I'm enjoying this. That just tells you.
They've been around already. They've upped my medication. That's why I'm so positive.
Okay, very good. All right. Giannis, over to you. Final thoughts, my friend.
Well, Donald Trump is still alive. Hawaii has just had 3 feet of snow. I don't know what the hell's going on over there. And you know what? And Newcastle have lost 3 on the sprint. Any of the fans in the championship that thought that this division was a joke division, I'm just take a look at that table.
Yeah.
Look at the parity. There's some very good sides in there, and even teams like Villa are now beginning to, you know, creep up. But it was a fantastic weekend. 5-0 win. Brent shit lose, which is great. Got clobbered. The QP Ha-Ha's lost at home, even better. And we look forward with glee to next week's game at Molineux. We don't have a great record up there, but I'm expecting us to get a result up there. It'd be nice if we do. And the one thing that we can all agree that we've been fairly fortunate with so far this year is with injuries. And let's hope that carries on. And let's hope we can go up to the West Midlands, the Black Country, as it used to be called, and get 3 points. Overflow the toilets at Molineux and have a happy weekend. I'm glad you guys, David, had a great time. I was extremely jealous here as I was here with my angry cats and just up to general mischief. But super show and wonderful we could get the win.
Listen, very great show. You guys really brought it today. This was a wonderful show. And yes, I'm very happy about the victory that we could have a show with a victory, and Giannis, that you're on a show with a victory, that's even better. So
been a while.
It's been a while, my friend, so I'm glad that I could have you on a show with a victory. So thank you so much for joining David and myself. My final thoughts goes back to what you said, David, and I'll just weave the show that way. You actually Skype with me as you, Emilio, Brendan, Brendan's wife, Martha, and your sons, I'm sorry. And who am I forgetting? Mike Gregg.
Mike.
Yes. All of you were walking towards Craven Cottage, and you were just showing me the view. And just to see all of you together, that to me was extremely wonderful, to see these co-hosts all together go into a match together. Again, that to me, I actually put on Facebook, my own Facebook page, the best thing to come out of Cottage Talk for me has been the friends I've made. And to see all you together there, for you to show me all that together, that meant the world to me. So thank you, David, for that. My final thoughts really involve just that moment of you Skyping with me before the match and me seeing all you guys together. That was just wonderful. And someday I'll be there with you, my friend. I promise you that.
Hurrah!
All right. All right. And you too, Giannis. Me and you.
Damn straight. See a match.
We're going to make that happen too. All right.
Yep.
But it is time to wrap up this show. This is a great show. For David and Giannis, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.